This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the Stonkily Gorgeous Jill Silkin.
You know, we're mentioning the C word already.
Yep.
The C word is being mentioned already. Not just Halloween, we've got the C word.
Chicken.
Apart from chicken. That's just Darcy. But you know, it's not just the chicken we lost, Paul Andrews, because, you know, once we've eaten the roast chicken, then the next day we have like a Caesar salad with some of the leftovers. Then we have a bone broth and make a nice chicken soup for the week. All gone.
She didn't run off with a Caesar as well, did she?
Actually, we did a really nice tuna salad last night for dinner. And I put some boiled eggs in and things. And we turned our back and she was whipping the lettuce and that was all over the carpet. She's a thief. Absolutely, but she's been starved.
Have you considered feeding your dog?
I feed her constantly. She's now on that. When Dogs Trust gave her, she's on 250 grams twice a day.
Of what? Raw chicken?
No, of biscuits. Wainwright's. But I'm giving her. I decided because she's very thin and she's obviously been mistreated by the people that had her for 5 months, and she's a failed racer. And racing, I think the kennels keep them quite low weight. And so I'm giving her 3 meals a day, plus I'm giving her, like this morning, even after her breakfast, she was like hanging around, so I've given her a few sprats. I've got some dried sprats she has. And then a few more biscuits she decided she wanted. So she had sort of another meal. She's had 4 meals that will be today.
Plus the occasional chicken snack.
She snaffles, yeah. But, you know, if anybody's listening, that chicken, if anybody wants an organic chicken.
You got it. You've still got some of it.
It's in the bin over the road.
Yeah.
It's in the bin over the road. If anybody wants to snaffle it out the bin, it's a lovely chicken. But it's just been a bit, you know, chewed.
Cool. Do you know what?
Should we talk to somebody sensible?
I want to talk to somebody sensible. We've got two lovely people in our studio with us that have been very, very patient listening to this nonsense.
Mind you, it is a bit like an infirmary in here today with them snuffing.
It is a bit. Really.
One's recovering from the COVID, doing very well on her herbal berries and things. Mm. That's Natasha, or Tasha, as we should call her.
Mm.
And then Siren is... got the lurgy and
she hasn't got the lurgy. She's had a test to prove she hasn't got the lurgy.
She's looking a bit green, isn't she?
Well, that's her t-shirt.
Must be the reflection.
Yeah,
but they're both doing very well.
They've been fantastic, yeah. And Saren has got a little bit of a snuffle. Let's put it that way.
Just a little bit, unfortunately.
Tash, Saren, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's a pleasure to talk to you. You guys are organising the Tenterton Trail Lights Trail. Every time somebody asks me, I've got a different way of saying it. So the Trail Lights in Tenterton, the Tenterton Trail Lights, the Trail of Tenterton Lights. But you guys are going to clear all of this up for us. But first and foremost, I want to know, I met Saren, I can't remember when it was. It was quite a while ago because it was before all the lockdown stuff, because I presented her with a prize. An award.
It was both of us, actually.
Yes. It was both of you, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
At the Ashford Business Awards.
That's right.
But that was quite a long time ago, because there hasn't been any for a year or so.
I think that was 2019.
Yeah.
And that was for the 2018-2019 Christmas market delivery.
It was it? Right, okay.
See, another mention of the C word. I've literally just recovered from last Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, so first and foremost, let's tell us a little bit about Tash and a little bit about Saren, just your own backgrounds first, and then we'll go on to talk about what it is you're up to and what you're doing.
Yeah.
Award winners, you.
Go first, Tash.
Originally got into the Christmas market from being one of those crafting artisans on the high street.
Right.
And actually made stuff.
What did you make?
Lots of hand sewn and machine sewn goods. I actually inherited my nan's sewing machine. I went to night classes,
Was it a Singer?
No, it wasn't.
Blimey.
It wasn't. I can't actually. A Frista Rossmann sewing machine,
wow.
I think. There you go. So learned to do that. And then we ended up doing a Christmas market. We went and participated in a Christmas market.
Hmm.
And then they actually didn't have anyone to carry it on. So went to a council meeting and they asked if someone else could take it on. And I volunteered myself.
You volunteered, didn't
That's
you?
It.
You don't learn, Tash, do you? You never put your hand up, yeah.
So I'm pretty organised, and then with the help of Saren, I think we both
And when did that happen? When did you first get involved?
That was 2017.
Right.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, about 4 years ago. Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of had a small pool of existing people that within the council.
Hmm.
Well, it was, I think it was the beginning of September 2017, and we had 8 weeks to organise a Christmas market, a light parade, an integration with the local schools, everything.
Okay, well, for those that don't know, let's just go back in history so that we've got a bit of a lead up to what's happening next. But just give people an overview of what the Christmas market was all about, what it involved, what it did.
Well, I think there was just no sense of kind of community participation.
Mm.
There was no sense of pageantry or anything like that. With the markets that we'd had previously were just a commercial market on the high street and actually didn't pull in all the local amazing makers that we have.
Mm.
Give us a shout for who you've got, what kind of things, apart from jams and chutneys.
So many things. Got the Tom Tees. She makes beautiful handmade little men.
Her ears pricked up then. Did you see that? Ooh, can they knit me one?
I'm not sure a little man's much use.
I'm not quite sure what their actual...
Their finish. I think that's the best way you can describe
Finland.
From Finland.
Yeah, Tom
the
tea.
Finnish. Okay. So what are they? Sort of
they're like
good luck charms.
Yes. Oh. At Christmas. So, and then a lot of it is we have 85% if it's handmade things. That's what our kind of criteria is. Or you have to be
knitwear, jumpers.
No,
socks?
Not so much. We haven't really got clothing because there's a lot of clothing on the high street.
Okay.
So we don't like to double up on anything like that. We've had. We are obviously in the heart of a really good producers network.
Marmalade? So,
no, it's more Nightingale Cider.
Cider, one of my one weaknesses.
Anno Gin, they've been with us.
Yeah.
I love a gin. Old Dairy Brewery.
Yeah.
So booze.
now you're talking her language.
There's always a lot of booze. When you go to any sort of Christmas market, there's always a lot of booze. But the great thing... And I think you've got to look at points of differentiation. What makes Tenterden Christmas Market different?
Mm.
And it's because our absolute focus is focusing on those local businesses.
Mm.
They're the people that need our support. They are there 365 days a year in the local community. If we were just to bring somebody in from even another part of the country, where is the support for our local businesses? And that was the underlying ethos for the whole of the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what it's about. It's about encouraging local businesses. It's about encouraging visitors to the town. It's about people having a good time. So it's part entertainment. It's part business development. Yeah.
And I think it's also part promotion because, Tenterden is a historical market town with a fantastic tree-lined high street. And receives so many visitors during the summer.
Yep.
Very much a cafe culture where people can actually take their time and wander the high street. But then when you start to look at the lead up to the high points in the retail calendar leading up to Christmas, what the event was always designed to do was not only showcase the market stalls, but to make sure that we actually showcase the town.
Yeah.
And part of that very much was making sure that when, you've got to deliver for visitors, but you mustn't forget your residents as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely vital. Yeah.
So in the past, and we're still stuck in the past at the moment, when you guys first took over, because I want to see how this is developing and where we're going with this. The Christmas market, when did that take place? Was it an ongoing thing, or was it something that happened for one day? Or
it used to be a Friday. Historically, it's a Friday night event where the shops would open late. You'd have,
it was a late night opening.
Late night opening, and then they tried the model. I think it was the Chamber, wasn't it originally? Tenterden Chamber. They tried a business model and tried to do it over a weekend, and then with a company.
Mm.
I think the company was the next year, actually.
Mm.
And the residents are so, they loved their Friday night.
Yeah.
So it was this kind of moving over to a weekend model that they weren't overly keen on.
Right.
So when we came in, it wasn't well rated for a weekend. They just wanted the Friday night.
Yeah.
So we were trying to convince people that actually there's so much more to Tenterden.
Mm.
If you take it, it's lovely to have a residence celebration on a Friday, but you want to expand that over the weekend Tenterden as a landmark to visit.
I think it's also that these businesses on the high street, pretty much all businesses in sort of rural towns struggle January, February. Mm. So December, that November, December push leading up to Christmas is so important for them to actually, you know, build their, you know, their revenue.
And the funny thing is, and I used to go every year, it was the last weekend in November or the first weekend in December that used to happen. And, you know, all the shops were open late and you had the lovely light display that we have in High Street in the trees. But the reality was, as a business owner myself, although I don't own a business in Tenston, but as a business owner, it was a branding exercise, no more, no less. You didn't sell anything, yeah, because people would come in your shop, eat your mince pies, drink your mulled wine, and then go into the next shop, and they weren't going to...
And eat more.
And eat more. They weren't coming there to buy, you know, okay, so you saw it as a, well, have a leaflet, you know, come back when you're shopping and have a look at some of our things, but there was very little purchased during that. It was a party more than anything else, which is lovely, and I don't have a problem with that.
No.
But, you know, as a business, you need customers, and that's why I think what you're trying to do is a much better fit, because you can do your entertaining bit, but you can also do your sales bit as well, which is what we need. So, give us an overview now of what it is you're trying to... Because I know the funny thing here is we're actually not even talking about this Christmas, are we? We're talking about next Christmas because, you know, it's going to take a long time to get this organised and get everything done. So I don't know. I don't mind which of you does or you can do it together. But tell us what it is that you're trying to do, what it is you're planning and what help you need with that.
Well, for 2022, it's about taking it to the next level, to be quite honest with you. The Christmas market model is working incredibly well. We are less reliant on sort of core support to actually deliver the market. What we want to do is to bring an element of celebration and experience. This, you know, retail has to move further into an experience, an immersive experience for people. And in many instances, we had a light parade, which caused a congestion because everybody wanted to turn up and be part of the light parade. We got all the school kids involved, and it was a fantastic celebration, but it was over in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It was a very stressful 20 minutes to deliver a massive presentation. And to be quite honest with you, behind the scenes, weekends leading up to that light parade, it was the both of us actually building massive great light structures for members of our family to actually carry on their shoulders. You know, we'd rope everybody in because we're on such a budget. With the growth of light installation experiences and the fact that people are more aware of how fantastic a light installation can be, next year we want to take the element of celebration that we had in the parade, take it from 20 minutes and make it 3 days, and actually have installed light installations, but fundamentally that those installations are free for people to access.
Right.
Because so many families actually miss out on the experience of what it is to engage with a light installation, because they're quite often paid for events behind closed doors
or
behind closed gates.
Right. So what I need from you now is a detailed explanation of what you consider a light installation. You know, paint the picture for us, basically.
Think about walking down a 10-metre light tunnel, absolutely glistening with gorgeous little twinkly lights.
Right.
So your whole family gets this sort of like immersive tunnel experience.
Right, okay.
Ooh, I've never been in one of those, have you?
Well,
I've never been in one.
Funnily enough, they used to have something a little bit similar to that at the Ashford International Hotel. At Christmas time, the main corridor to the event space was done up, you know, with holly and ivy and lights and twinkles and snow and all the rest of it. So as you walk down there, you've got this lighting effect. So I get exactly what you're saying there. Yeah.
But it's also, it can be where you take sort of waste plastic, for example, work with local school children, as we did in 2019. Yeah. And we created these fantastic hanging light displays that we hung up in the trees.
Right.
People can go and stand underneath them. They were the perfect Instagram moment.
So magical. Magical.
Really, really magical. But I think what was additionally like a second layer of magic over the top were these over 300 children that were taking members of their family on the tour, because they'd actually helped us build these installations.
Yeah.
So there's a real community spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when kids feel ownership of art in sort of like public domain, they are your ambassador. And they were, you know, we had grandparents being taken to see the light installations, parents, aunts, uncles. And it was fantastic to see because these kids had actually created these installations, you know, and worked with us. So it can be anything. I mean, we are looking at a herd of deer running through the high street.
You can have a greyhound if you want.
Yeah. How about a greyhound chasing a herd of deer?
With that, the last one was a fixed kind of location because we were obviously up against time and our, you know, our own efforts as well as with the school. But it'd be nice now to have more than one and put them in different locations through the high street, so you actually got...
And also then you don't get that congestion thing where people are having to queue and whatever.
It becomes a light trail, because one of the other important things is that the whole point of this event and the way the event is set out is that we encourage people to walk the entire length of our high street.
All right.
So all of those high street businesses, no matter where they're located, will get the same level of footfall through the whole high street.
Absolutely.
And that's what the light installations will do, where, you know, you have a sort of a congestion around, say, the town hall with the parade. People will have a map where they can go and discover the different areas. And that's great, because it's really taking all of the local businesses into the fold, sort of thing. And remember, a lot of those businesses that are as part of the market are people that don't have a presence on the high street, but are, you know, great businesses like the Nightingale Ciders, like the Old Dairy or Anno, based in Marden. So, you know, giving them the pitch in front of all these people shows just how productive and fantastic we are as a local community of businesses. And showcases.
Absolutely. And of course, we've all for the last few years talked a lot about the death of the high street. My personal view on it is it's not a death, it's a rebirth. And it's a period of evolution that we're going through, where the old way of doing things is fading away, and we're going to replace that with new things. And something like this, I think, is a kickstarter for something like that. It shows you, for me, the high street has got to become a place of entertainment, you know, and a place of engagement, as well as a place of shopping. Yeah, it's got to offer you something. It's got to offer you a reason to go there. If you look at it, I mentioned the outlet centre earlier. Well, of course, the reason that those out-of-town shopping malls work is you rock up, you park, you can shop, but you can eat, you can drink coffee, you can buy an ice cream,
the whole package.
You can have a go at something, you could even go and watch a film. So it's a complete experience. You know, you actually go shopping as a form of entertainment, if you see what I mean. And you can do those things, and you can stay there the whole day. And I think whilst you can't totally recreate that in a high street, I think that's where we need to move towards more entertainment, more engagement in a high street. And I think what you guys are trying to do with this is kickstart that around the Christmas market. So I love what you're trying to do. So let's move on to how you're going to do it now, and who you're going to get involved and who you want involved. So what's happening? You've got a fundraiser going, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
We've been really lucky to be accepted onto the KCC Space Hive programme.
Right.
So part of that, it's a crowdfunding platform.
Right.
Because these things don't build themselves. And we need help and support from local businesses to enable us to create 5 to 6 light installations. We're still doing it on a ridiculous budget. You know, I can tell you that for nothing. But the fact is that if we can raise the funding through the Space Hive project, it will enable us to really work with schools in the local community, but also very small micro businesses in the local community.
Right. Okay.
You know, if we're welding frames for the angel wings, then
supporting
we're working
our
with
local makers. Really.
It's no good asking Jules for the light bulbs because she hasn't got a clue.
They're all such different shapes and sizes now, aren't they? And you know, new light bulbs, they buzz, don't they? Do you
some
find
of them
that?
Do, yeah.
Yeah, some of them do.
So I'm sure Webbers will help you with a light bulb picking. Or Stanley George, there are more than one. We have more than one hardware store in Tenterton.
We have three, and they've all gone.
We've got two, and they're still there, and they're still doing
really
well.
You could go and buy a broom, or a dustpan and brush.
Yeah, yeah.
think you can buy just about anything in Webbs or Stonington.
Webbs are amazing, aren't they? I just need to. I've lived in Tenterton nearly 30 years now, 25 odd years, and I go into Webbs on a regular basis, and it's a funny little shop, isn't it? You know, it's a bit like Arkwright's, open all hours or whatever, isn't it? But do you know what? I've never been in there and asked for something, and they've gone, no, I haven't got that. Not ever, not never. Everything you ask for, they've got. And, you know, they shuffle off upstairs, and they go away and root through some drawers, and they come back, and they've got one. And they go, that's 4p. Do you want it in a bag?
I think they quite often get asked for four candles.
Yeah, they do a lot. Yeah,
Paul Andrews. Every week he goes.
Every Saturday I go, hello, guys, four candles, please. But those kind of stores are beautiful, aren't they? They're fabulous. They've got things. But it's not just that. It's as Jules said, it's the expertise. When you go in there and you go, look, I want a left-handed, you know, threaded wing nut. And they go, no, you really don't. What are you trying to do? You know, and you tell them, they go, no, what you want is one of these. You know, the expertise of the people that work in the store is what makes it.
But that a dying breed? I don't know.
Well, to some extent. But it's like I was trying to say to you with the nail bar. You know, as an entrepreneur, you spot opportunities, yeah? And just because everybody says it's dying, don't believe them, yeah? There's always space for something, and things always make a comeback. Mm. Yeah, there's a bank, right? There is a very
like Ant and Dec, isn't it?
Yeah, really? No, there's a very well known bank that actually. Now you have to be quite rich to bank there, but you actually get your statements handwritten.
Oh my goodness, is it Coutts?
It is. Yeah. You know, and there's no reason for it, but it's just novel, yeah?
Quaint.
And it's quaint, and it's a comeback, and people like it because it's retro. Mm. So you can do things like that on a retrospective basis, you know, because you're not competing with, you know, the Amazons of this world, or even the Debenhams of this world. You've just got a makeup shop front somewhere where you give people advice on makeup or perfume or left-handed widgets or whatever it is you're doing. Mm. Anyway, back to you, ladies, and the fabulous job that you're doing with the Tenterton Light Trail. So what are we asking for? Who do we need to get hold of to give you as much help as we can?
Well, we've actually had quite an exciting week already.
Have you?
Because we've, obviously I can't name them, obviously, but a very well-known brand that's involved in insurance, household name of insurance that understands the agricultural community.
NFU!
I did say that. But we're in talks with NFU because they're absolutely the kind of brand that we want to align to.
Yeah.
We are looking for two headline sponsors.
Right.
That's basically. So we've broken down our.
We've been very well supported already up until,
absolutely.
We've had even our stallholders have pledged ahead. You know, because they want to see it happen for them, I think, the high street.
Yep, and the community. The community have been absolutely fantastic. So realistically, what we're looking for now is to take us to our end target is two headline sponsors. But that's not just for the light trail. That will be for the Christmas market in 2022.
Okay.
The great thing, and I'm a bit of a data freak, so I do like data. And for the last three Christmas markets, we have analysed the living daylights out of it. Mm. So we know that we've got people travelling from as far afield as Eastbourne, South East London, Medway, Ramsgate.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you being a stats freak. I mean, we're talking about 14, 15,000 people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Over 3 days.
Yeah.
And we know that people are coming in cars because obviously Tenton doesn't have a mainline station.
Yeah.
It has a fantastic
steam train, but it doesn't go anywhere. Well, it does, but yeah.
So people are coming in cars, but we know that people are travelling to this event, four or five people per car. These aren't single passenger car visits. And we know that they're spending over £50 a head when they come into the town.
So it's families that are coming in, presumably, four or five
people. Great whole mix.
But people also wanting to test out the local area potentially to work and to live.
They run coach tours.
Let me just say something about that. Tenterton, unlike Canterbury, is very good for parking. I went to work. I've got a business in Canterbury. I went to work the other day. 17 quid to park to go to work.
Crazy.
17 quid it cost me to go to work.
I went for lunch in Canterbury and I had to be rude because my car park was running out. I couldn't get the Wi-Fi to do it on Ringo. And I was going, can I have the bill, please? I need to go. And I'm galloping up. Ridiculous. You're spending money.
Tenterton has a lot of parking, some of it free. A lot of it paid, but even the paid parking is cheap compared to that. Yeah, it's a couple of quid. Yeah, there's a lot of parking for a town like Tenterton, and there's also overflow car parking down by our station that doesn't go anywhere.
Yes. Well, it does go to Bodiam.
I'm not knocking it because the steam train is a fantastic resource for the town, and it attracts a lot of visitors, and it's a lovely thing to do, especially at Christmas time when you get the Santa special and all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we do have car parking in Tenterton, and it's not extortionate, it's reasonably priced. I just needed to say that.
Yeah, no, it's very good. And also, whenever so in the last 3 years when we've done the Christmas event, we've worked with local businesses like Rother Valley Timber, and we've taken over their parking area for the weekend because they're not using it.
Right,
and then we're on shuttle buses with the social hub to support a local charity.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
people absolutely love that as well. The
benefits, when you're building something like this, the benefits can mushroom and it goes beyond the actual event itself.
Isn't the wood yard on the level crossing for the steam train?
It is.
Yeah. What we need to do is get the steam train to back up to the level crossing and then empty the car park into the steam train and take them into town. And that's what we need, isn't it?
Yeah.
They have worked with that previously.
Cool. So you need some headline sponsors.
We need two headline sponsors. And really, it's also a call out for businesses that either are based in or around Tenterden. We need 100 businesses just to do 20 quid.
Yeah.
You know, that's how crowdfunding works.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, it's about when we'll be putting their names onto our light wall.
Right.
So everybody will see their names as a business sponsor at the event. So that's 14,000 to 16,000 people walking up and down the high street past our light wall.
Right.
Which will be the names and, you know, some people have donated anonymously. That's fine.
Yeah.
If you don't want your name on the light
wall. Anon. There's a lot of anons on the light wall.
Yeah. There might be a few, times six or eight or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think for local businesses, it's really an ask. We've actually never gone out to local businesses to support us. We've always developed an event model that is pretty much self-funding, where we've gone to the Tenterden Town Council, which have been incredibly supportive of us in the past, and they've picked up the shortfall. We haven't actually asked businesses at all. So, but this year, if we want to be bigger, bolder, and better, as in getting ready for 2022, that's where we need their help.
Fantastic. Can I ask how much are you trying to raise? What's your?
So the actual target for the actual light installation trail is only just over £16,000.
16.
KCC have already committed £3,000 for us because they really love the project and they want to see it successful. Tenterden Town Council pretty much almost matched that as well. We've had a fantastic support from the local community.
Yeah, some community sponsors have really, really...
Local councillors.
We're a bit of arithmetic. You're looking for another 10 grandish.
We're looking for another sort of £7,500, £8,000.
Let's call it 10. Let's round it up to 10. Come on.
If we get more money, it means more light installation.
Well, it does.
Exactly, yeah.
And it means working with more of the schools and different community groups as well, really.
Fantastic. We're really looking forward to this. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Tash and Seren. Can you give us a shout out for the fundraising website?
Yes, it is www.spacehive.com/Tenterden-light-trail.
Fantastic. There is a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. The link will remain there for the rest of 2021 and 2022. So at any point through that, you can find that link. We will promote it on an ongoing basis and remind people of the links there and that they ought to get their wallets out, dust off the moths and put some money into it.
Wonderful. We've also got a linking page through on our Instagram.
Okay.
It takes you straight through to the site where you can go straight through and watch
Fantastic.
A video about it and everything.
And you've got a Facebook page as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. That's right. The call, though, actually, is we need people to make a pledge.
Yeah.
And we need businesses to make a pledge before the 8th of November because that actually secures us the KCC funding.
Right, so you need to pledge before the 8th of November this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the next 3 weeks. Yeah.
Because we need to secure that core KCC funding.
Right, okay.
So thinking of where we are with our festive season, and we're moving into the festive season, and we're really disappointed, obviously, that
right.
we can't.
Right, let's just make sure we've got this. So the pledge, do you mean they just have to say that they will give you some money,
yes.
or do you want them to donate the money now?
No, they have to make a pledge before the 8th of November.
Right.
So if they can make a pledge, that would be absolutely amazing.
But what do you mean by a pledge?
The
money
is just a pledge at the moment, and then if the project is fulfilled and we get to our target,
then they cough up.
Yeah,
right.
That's
got
right.
it.
If
yeah.
we don't
yeah.
hit our target, we don't get anything.
You don't. Right, I get it. So it's a standard crowdfunding thing that says, yeah. I'll put 100 quid in if you get to the target, but if you don't meet the target, I'm not going to part with 100 quid.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, okay, get it. Okay, put your pledges in. That's an order.
Yes, please.
That's an order. Everyone out there, go and pledge for this now, right now. Do it now. You can find the link on the Kent Business Radio website. It's on the homepage at the moment, but it will be under this show page. This is show number 550. So it's a nice round number, 550. Do check it out. For the moment, Tash and Saren, thank you so much. We wish you massive success with this.
Thank
it's going to be
really
loads and loads of fun. And it's not just for the people of Tenterton, it's for people all over Kent and East Sussex to come and visit the town and enjoy an experience and an entertainment and a retail thing all at the same time.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool.
We've had a tweet from Richard Shawnee, who is retail mentoring, and he is a founder of the Shop Local campaign. He founded that in 2011. He's into high streets and independent small businesses. So he's retweeted the interview today. Well done. Thank you, Richard. And Tracy Ferguson, Tazy64 on the Twitter, she says, absolutely love the ideas Serene and Natasha have had for the Christmas market, especially the lights made by local children. It all sounds very magical and a lovely way to bring the community into their high street. Wishing them both every success with a fundraiser to make this happen. Thank you, Tracy Ferguson.
Fantastic. Do you know what I'm going to do now?
Are you going to read the FSB?
I'm going to read the uninterrupted FSB news.
I'll just have a ginger biscuit.
I would if I were you.
I will.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Entries are now open for Celebrating Small Business Awards 2022. We're celebrating the achievements, successes and resilience of small businesses and the self-employed across the UK, and you are invited. Whether you're shortlisted for one of 12 local awards or make it all the way through to the spectacular UK final, it's time to put your business in the spotlight and show us what you're made of. It's free to enter, so what are you waiting for? If you want to find out about the criteria and you want to nominate your business or any other business, if you go to www.fsbawards.co.uk. That's www.fsbawards.co.uk. I'm going to give you a number of events that are happening. At the end of all of these events, I will give you the link to find out more detail and to book your place on them, should you wish to do so. On Tuesday the 12th of October, now that's today, so that's too late. Oh yeah, it's just too late, you just missed it. 14th of October, that's Thursday, 11 till 12 p.m, FSB member David Taylor will be giving a webinar on the Southeast Local Enterprise Partnership, adapting with digital programs and briefing on the upcoming grants available. On the 21st of October, 10 till 11:30 a.m., the Lower Thames Crossing Project is holding a briefing for FSB members on the next steps for the project and how it aims to include SMEs in the supply chain. Also on Thursday the 14th of October, discover the hidden value in your business and how to unlock it. This is 11 a.m. to noon. Hear from a business owner about the importance of intellectual property and the role that it's played in the success of business by securing market share. Paul Wilson, FSB Policy Director, will be on hand, and the event is hosted by Neil Sharpley, who's the FSB's Home Office and Ministry of Justice Policy Unit. That's Thursday the 14th of October. on the 21st of October, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Cybersecurity and the Small Business. 4 in 10 small businesses report they've been victims of cybercrime, with the average cost a jaw-dropping £8,460. But right, could you afford to become part of that stat? No, you can't. So join the FSB for this bite-sized session led by Detective Superintendent Neil Jones, who's the director of the Northwest Cyber Resilience Centre. On Friday the 22nd of October is the Kent BAME Networking Black History Month special. Join us for talks and a Q&A from 3 business owners from Kent and the South East who will discuss their successes and experience of being an ethnic minority business owner. The event is hosted by FSB member Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. So do check that out. On Friday the 29th of October, there's a Q&A breakfast meeting with Damien Green, who's the MP for Ashford, and he's happy to discuss what's needed for business success in the Ashford area, and that's a breakfast meeting from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. There's on Tuesday the 2nd of November, there's the FSB National Small Business Virtual Conference, The Journey to Net Zero. As the COP26 climate talks will take place in the UK, we have the perfect opportunity to explore the significant role small businesses will and must urgently play in the transition to net zero. Let's just see if I've got any other. Oh, yeah, we've got a few more. Creating safe spaces at work to tackle domestic abuse and to support good mental health is taking place tomorrow, Wednesday the 13th of October, 1 till 2 p.m. This webinar is designed to help employers and employees create safe spaces to discuss and tackle domestic abuse and mental health issues. On Thursday the 26th of October, there's a Kent Women in Enterprise virtual networking, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow female entrepreneurs. On Friday the 5th of November, there could be fireworks, Q&A session, breakfast meeting with Sir Roger Gale, MP for North Thanet. This will be a great opportunity to hear more about his priorities for North Thanet and to pose any questions you may have in relation to how the government plans to support small businesses going forward into the future. And then on Thursday the 11th of November, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m, property and construction event, a tax savings for developers and those considering developments. At this event, we'll focus on tax savings for developers and a lot of information for people in the property and construction business. All of those events can be found in full detail with a booking link to book your place. Most of them are free. By going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. And I've got one other thing that I meant to tell you about, but I can't find it at the moment, so bear with me a second while I find it. Right, here we are. Do you want to be a voice of the FSB in your area? So in Kent and Medway, we're looking for volunteers to attend local NP roundtables, Bank of England briefings and other events with stakeholders. If you're policy-minded and want to speak up on behalf of small businesses, please can you drop an email to Kent and Medway Business Development Manager for the FSB, Tim Aker. You can drop an email to Tim at tim.aker@fsb.org.uk. tim.aker@fsb.org.uk. If you want to get involved in the roundtables and various stakeholder meetings for the FSB. And that's the FSB news for another week.
So beautifully read.
Right, what you got?
So Kent companies have now the opportunity, more opportunity than ever, to influence the local skills agenda after a chamber and further education partnership has been appointed by one of the 8 national trailblazers by the government. The news follows a successful joint bid by Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce with the EKC Group. Who's that? Who's EKC Group?
Leo.
EKC Group.
East Kent College.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Mid Kent College and North Kent College, written in full, to help businesses across Kent and Medway flourish as new skills are unlocked and skills gaps are lifted. The partnership bid secured $5.6 million for Kent's further education colleges to implement a pilot strategic development fund and bring forward new courses tailored to the needs of businesses. Under the Skills Accelerator programme, the further education colleges will focus on three key sectors, that's agriculture, construction and engineering, with a shared thread of decarbonisation.
Fantastic. Do you feel overwhelmed?
Yes.
At the thought of planning your social media content? There are so many things you could be doing, post stories, live reels, ads, and probably plenty of other things too. But there's only so much time in every day, and there's only one of you. Excuse me. So why not join Zoe Cairns for free Content Planning Live on October the 19th, and you'll learn how to create engaging content that attracts your ideal audience and gets you plenty of likes, comments and shares, plus hear strategies and tips on how to get more organised and plan your social media content in advance. Join Zoe and her team at ZC Social Media and some super guests who'll be sharing content strategy ideas, Canva techniques, video creation techniques, planning hacks and so much more. This is a free event staged by the lovely Zoe Cairns, and you can book your place on it by going to eventbrite.co.uk/contentplanninglive2021. That's eventbrite.co.uk/contentplanninglive2021.
Kent Company shortlisted for two awards at the AV Awards 2021. Kent-based assistive hearing technology designer and manufacturer Contactor has been shortlisted in both Communication Technology of the Year and Audio Technology of the Year categories at the AV Magazine Awards.
Fantastic. The King's Summit is going ahead for 2021. This is a live event with real people in a real place. Yeah, it's less than a week or so away. It's this week. It's on the 14th of October. So it's less than a couple of days away at a Kent event centre, Detlin, and you're invited. In past years, business owners seeking wisdom and fresh insights to grow their businesses have found this to be one of the most valuable days in the business calendar. For the first time in nearly 2 years, like-minded, ambitious business owners like you will be able to meet together face-to-face and discuss the challenges and opportunities for the future of your business. This year will be unique, as every business will be able to promote their product and services to the room on our promotions wall. There will be fascinating insights into surviving and thriving through the uncertain days ahead, and plenty of time for networking. We'll also be encompassing the government's latest initiative to develop peer networks, and you will be able to practically build your own peer group during the King's Summit, actually at the summit. Don't go it alone in these very challenging times. Peer groups are a proven way to build a sustainable business, because you're able to draw on the experience and expertise of fellow entrepreneurs who help you navigate the choppy waters ahead. If you want to find out more about this event, which is taking place on Wednesday the 14th, is that right? Or was that Thursday? No, Thursday the 14th. Yeah. Thursday the 14th at the Kent Event Centre, Detlin. Go to www.thekingssummit.com. Thekingssummit.com.
And we've had a little tweet from Chain Reaction, the Palgrave Macmillan book written...
I need to read that.
..by my lovely husband.
I need to read that.
Are you going to read it now?
Not right now, no.
Okay. Shall I read it? No, you read it.
No, you can read the email. I'm talking about the book.
Is it on your bedside table?
No, it's on my office table.
Have it by your bed, then you'll read it.
No, I'd never manage that.
I always read in bed. It's the only place I can get away from people. So Chain Reaction on the Twitter, they are at Reaction Book. They say, hello, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin.
Hello.
An edited extract from Chain Reaction, How Blockchain Will Transform the Developing World, by authors Paul Domjan, G. Serkin, that's my lovely new husband, G. Brandon Thomas, based in America, and J. K. Toshak, was published by Armchair Tweets. And you can read the extract, and they're giving you a little link, Paul Andrew. So you can just read that, you know, and then you can pretend you've read it.
I want to read the book.
You do like reading.
I read a lot. Tenterson Chambers says, superb interview with Natasha and Siren. I was playing chamber member bingo for the full length of the discussion.
Has he won?
Yeah.
Legs 11. What else is there on that? I always forget.
He's given us a list of all the Twitter handles of all the people that you mentioned. Old Dairy Brewery, Kent and East Sussex Railway, Stanley Hardware, Webbs, Nightingale Cider. He's gone for it big time.
There's certainly a lot of drink. I'm interested to see what food there is. Maidstone Bus Station was opened on Thursday the 7th of October ahead of welcoming customers back to a safer, brighter and refurbished space with new fire safety equipment, improved CCTV and lighting. And the new look station has been modernised and the area opened up by removing glass block walls, installing new public wayfinding signage, street furniture, benches and service information boards, which will contribute to increasing the safety of customers. So it cost £1.4 million and included all sorts. So they've got a colourful mural wall as well. So well done. That was funded by the Arts Council England grant.
Fantastic. A local firm has continued to grow and has appointed two new directors internally. Despite the uncertainty faced by many UK businesses over the last 18 months, McBride's Chartered Accountants in Sidcup continues to successfully defy the national trends by building on its recent launch of a new payroll bureau and announcing this week the appointment of new directors of their outsourcing and audit teams, the result of two promotions from within the firm. After 20 years at the firm and having trained there, Nigel Ling becomes audit director. And after joining the team as a trainee 13 years ago, Hannah Adams becomes the outsourcing director. You can find out more about McBride's by going to their website, which is McBride'sLLP.com. McBride'sLLP.com.
And the pandemic has caused a greater need for osteopaths. The local college of European School of Osteopathy are encouraging young people to make osteopathy a smart career choice. Osteopathy is in high demand for patients suffering from the symptoms of long COVID, such as aches, pains and poor posture. I'm also thinking working at home, sitting on beds and
I think that's
table.
More likely, isn't it?
Is, exactly.
Our poor posture is sitting cramped in front of a computer screen for 15 hours a day.
Exactly. And looking at the patient's breathing is important, the dynamics of the diaphragm. Look, I'm rolling my shoulders as
I can see.
Doing little exercises, aching my diaphragm. Or where a cough has persisted for a significant period, aches and pains throughout the body, including headaches from a pulled or tightened neck, can be treated from osteopathy.
I need some of that.
They're saying people have been less active during lockdown. That's a joke. My new husband is like Action Man. He's out there windsurfing.
But he's just swinging the lead, isn't he? He's just out there having fun. He's
well, he works as well.
He's swimming
that's
the channel. He's swimming the channel
time.
and you know, and paddleboarding out to steamers and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but
the rest of us are working.
Well, no, that's his commute time, Paul Andrews. Yeah. But of course, I thought I'd be having brisk walks with my greyhound Darcy.
Right.
But no, she won't go out. So
she's scared. Is she agoraphobic or what?
I think she must be. She's scared of. I think the slopes are quite wide. She's not used to it. I don't think the family that had her for 5 months walked her.
Right.
I think that's what it is. Anyway, so she's quite happy just chewing up chickens and things at home.
Yeah, don't blame her.
Recognised as one of the 14th allied health professionals, the third largest workforce within the NHS, osteopaths use a variety of holistic hands-on treatment methods to reduce pain and improve posture and mobility. Now, we've got some osteopaths that follow us on Twitter. Who are they? Remind me.
We have.
Can't remember.
City Way Osteopaths.
Send them a little picture of that. Mm. There is a one-hour event that will give you more insight into your career on the 13th and 14th of October. Do you know it's a really good career, isn't it? Because you can work from anywhere. You could be up in Rutland or Scotland.
You could be self-employed.
You can have your own little office in the garden, and people come, patients come and see you. I like that as a career. If I were 20, I'd do that. Mm. Even 30.
The European School of Osteopathy is in Maidstone.
Okay, so there you go.
Tunbridge Road.
I think that's a very good career change for many people.
Do you fancy an electric van?
I'd love one.
Right, well, you can get one for
nothing. Especially now, really?
Yeah. Kent County Council has received funding to offer free 2-month electric van trials to small businesses in Kent. To find out more, please visit the website.
send me the link.
The link is greenbusinesshub.eco/greenbusinesscommunity24.
Tweet me the link because I'm on air at the moment. I can't write that down.
Okay.
But because I don't know if I can even get home today in my Mercedes because it's got the old light on and anything could happen.
You know what that air blue needs, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what it needs.
But we've topped it up to wear blue in the face.
A bit of whiz. Bit of whiz and some distilled water. That's all
but
that blue
even
is.
When you top it up, it's just
your NOx sensor. I've told you this.
Yeah, it's my NOx sensor.
The NOx sensor.
I know.
Your NOx sensor has busted.
But they'd run out of parts.
And they haven't got a replacement NOx sensor
to
replace it with. That's the problem.
But manana, hopefully they will.
But surely they can just disable it.
I don't know. I mean, I'm getting really bored with the whole thing. I'm thinking of going back to my old CRV Honda.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Has it got a cat on it still?
Yeah, it's got a kind of a pretend cat. But it's just done its MOT. It's done 250,000 miles, Paul Andrews. We've had
it
years. It was cost us £80. Every time I take my Merc in, it's like thousands. And it's new. It's just ridiculous. I do like an old car. But my mechanic says that even the new CRVs are not as good as the old ones.
Right.
So it's a bit annoying. Why can't they make things to last?
For sure.
Like washing machines.
Austin 8.
Yeah. I think that was my first car.
Was it?
Yeah. So we know about Austin.
Do you know what? My first car was a Hillman Imp.
Yeah, because you get in that now.
No, I can get in. I don't know about now.
You can get out once you're in.
Yeah.
I had Vauxhall Cavalier was my first car in London. In London, in those days, you could just drive, park. I used to drive to nightclubs in Mayfair, park outside, hop in.
Get ratted. Drive home again.
Yeah. 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Get up for work at 7, have a bacon sandwich, off I went.
Yeah, and you try telling the youth of today that. Yeah.
Strange. I drove much better. I don't know why at 4 a.m.
Anyway, this is apocryphal. It's not real.
Mums have launched their own business, Paul Andrews.
Have they?
Networking group
of them?
Yeah, some in Medway anyway, and hope to change male-dominated culture in the industry. I do like a male. I do like a female. And other other binary...
I'm saying nothing.
Other binary people as well. Yeah. A group of mothers from Medway have come together to form their own supergroup as part of a networking revolution.
A supergroup?
Yeah, supergroup. It's
like Led Zeppelin or Kiss or...
I can't think of a girl band, but you know what I mean.
Bananarama, what's the matter with you?
Yeah, exactly. That's your era. Tailored to women and nuns, mums, sorry, who want to advance their business. I knew that, really. I just thought I'd pop that in.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I get bored, I do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I noticed,
Currently, less than one third of you. Wouldn't it be great if it was women and nuns, though?
Well, I think there ought to be a group for them. I really do.
Let's start one. Currently, less than one third of you UK businesses are co-owned by women, according to the UENI. Who's that? What's the UENI?
That's UENI. They're a company in Hammersmith. No, seriously,
really?
they've been on the show. Yeah.
Oh, UENI.
UENI. Do you get it?
UENI and a nun.
Yeah.
A figure which highlights a significant disparity in gender within the entrepreneurial industry, because they're all home breastfeeding and making soups and getting the kids to school.
And that's just the blokes.
Darning the socks and all that. Well, yeah, we have to do everything. Although my new husband, is trembling at home because he's got the first day alone with the greyhound. 4 days. I had to give him a checklist, you know, of like letting her out, letting her in, giving her a little chew at 2:30 and all that. So this is brilliant. Well done, mums and nuns, launching this new networking group.
Fantastic. Do you know what? It's brought us to the end of another show.
No, really?
Yeah. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, the lovely folks at Tenterton and District Chamber of Commerce, to our fantastic guest, Mr. Steve Park of Overwrought.
In Rutland. First guest from Rutland, that was.
Our first guest from Rutland. Mind you, there's only four people that live in Rutland, so it was a pretty small pool. But it was very good. And a fantastic thank you to our studio guests, the lovely Serene and Tasha.
Thank you.
For the Kent... I couldn't even get the first bit of that right. The Tenterton, light trail.
And she's coming from a little deathbed as well.
Yeah, and she's done so well.
Snuffled her way through 2 hours.
Absolutely. We'll be back on Thursday with a Business Bunker Extra Show, where I'm joined by Joe Allsop. Joe is an expert and founder of the Heating Hub, and she's going to be telling you how to save money on your gas bills by getting your controller and boiler to work properly together. So do check that out, 1 p.m. on Thursday. We'll be back next week.
Bye for now. I just had my wood burn again last night, first time.